This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hello and welcome to Amazing Grace, here on Manawatu People's Radio. My name is Warren, and we pray that you'll be blessed by our program today. Today we're going to share some devotionals, but we're also going to share some thoughts about God and our connection with Him. And so we pray that that you'll be blessed today as you listen to our program. There have been a couple of weeks, over the last couple of weeks, that I've been doing the program where I have offered money to the first person that contacts us, because apparently, according to the guys here at the station, on Manawatu People's Radio, they say that for every one person that contacts, there's another 100 that listen. So we should be able to get a good gauge by how many people contact us. However, we're still waiting for the first person to contact us. And if you do, we've said that we'll give you $20. But we're actually going to put that up to $40. If you contact me and on the email address or on the cell phone, and you're the first one to do that, we will give you $40. We just want to see how many people are listening, approximately. We know that each week will be different, but people are listening less and less to radio. When I first started, we used to have lots of people contacting us, but today it seems to be that most people are on a lot of other platforms, and so we just wondered how many were listening. So anyway, if you hear this and you contact us, and in fact I'll give it to you right now, I'll give you the email address, which is 999 amazinggrace at gmail.com. That is 999 Amazing Grace, and Amazing Grace is only one G, at gmail.com. Or text us or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. Now, we also have a couple of books that we're giving away, but we haven't given many away recently. Book, The Desire of Ages, which is it brings the spiritual applications alive from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the other book that we have is Steps to Jesus, or Steps to Christ. And if you would like either of those books, if you contact us, our details are the same. And if you can't remember or whatever, you can just contact the station, and they have passed information on to us in the past. All right, friends, let's start our program off today with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for those that are listening and their families. We pray for your blessing upon them, and just pray that as we share the gospel, as we share your truths, we pray that people's hearts and minds will be opened to you, Lord. And so we just lift up our listeners and their families, praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, our devotion today is about Jesus in heaven. Heaven is real. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Would you like to live your life over again? Most people say, yeah, I surely would. There are a lot of things that I'd do differently. No. Would you like to live your life over again, just the way that you have lived it, without changing any part of it? The more one has seen of what life has to offer in this world, the quicker comes the response, no thanks. Since this is true, then one of the greatest hopes that we have here is for heaven. To accept the salvation that God has provided and offered, and to help others to accept it, is our biggest purpose for being here. Aren't you thankful today that we believe in heaven? There are many people who do not believe that heaven is a real place, but the doctrine of heaven is a real place. It is a Bible doctrine in which Christians believe strongly. If heaven seems unreal to you, perhaps it is because Jesus seems unreal. A skeptic once said to a little street urchin who believed in heaven, "But what if you get to heaven and Jesus isn't there?" And the boy replied, "Where Jesus is, that is heaven. If Jesus is real, then heaven is real." Is Jesus real? Most people believe that he was real before the resurrection. Some have trouble believing he is real afterward. But the Bible teaches that Jesus is real post-resurrection. The disciples thought that they were seeing a ghost in Luke 24:39, but Jesus said, "Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Thomas was a doubter, but Jesus told him in John 20:27, "Reach hither in your hand, touch me, handle me." And Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus was just as real after he was resurrected as he was before. Add to that 1 John 3:2, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We are going to be like Jesus when he comes again. And since Jesus is real, when we see him face to face, we will be real. Heaven won't be some vague, mystical place. It will be very real.
When your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded, just come, come. Believing everything I told you, here are arms that long to hold you, just come. Behind the mask you're hiding, here is someone to confide in. I know what you've done. Come, tell me everything you're hoping. The Father loves a heart that's open. Just come. Why didn't I so you could try to save yourself? I know who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Come. Believe in everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Come into the joy of life. living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just come. Try to save yourself. I know who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Come. When your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded, won't you come? That your sins forgiven, just
listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Okay, we've come to the health tip of the week, and the health tip of the week this week is about water. And it's something I need to take into consideration myself. I had a blood test about a month ago, and the results came back, and the only thing that wasn't normal was there something to do with my kidneys, and the doctor said, "How much water do you drink?" And I said, "Not as much as I should." He said, "Yeah, well, how much is that?" And I said, "Well, you know, probably average about half a litre a day." And he said, "Well, how much coffee do you drink?" And I said, "Well, probably two or three." He said, "That's nowhere near enough." He said, "You need to cut back on your coffee, or you need to you need to do both, really." He said, "You need at least, for a person my size, you need about a litre, eight glasses, and you also, every time you have a coffee, unfortunately, it dehydrates you. So it's important to drink lots of water if you drink coffee especially." Anyway, let's have a look at just some advantages in drinking water. So, one, it lubricates the joints. Cartilage found in joints and the discs of the spine contains around 80% water. Long-term dehydration can reduce the joint's shock-absorbing ability, leading to joint pain. Two, it forms saliva and mucus. Saliva helps us digest our food and keeps the mouth, nose, and eyes moist. This prevents friction and damage. Drinking water also keeps the mouth clean. Consumed instead of sweetened beverages, it can also reduce tooth decay. It delivers oxygen throughout the body. Blood is more than 90% water, and blood carries oxygen to different parts of the body. Okay, I can just I remember my uncle many years ago. He cut himself, and man, the blood that came out of his leg was just so thick, it was like treacle. And He had the same problem. He wasn't drinking enough water, and he didn't have a stroke or a heart attack. But quite often, people, as they get older, their blood gets thicker, and that can lead to strokes or heart attacks. So important as you get older to drink more water. It boosts skin health and beauty. With dehydration, the skin can become more vulnerable to skin disorders and premature wrinkling. And as you get older, you don't want premature wrinkling. The wrinkles come quickly enough. Thank you. Five, it cushions the brain, spinal cord, and other sensitive tissues. Dehydration can affect brain structure and function. It is also involved in the production of hormones and neurotransmitters, Prolonged dehydration can lead to problems with thinking and reasoning. And that's not good, isn't it? Because that's the part of our body that actually makes the choices. It regulates body temperature. Water is stored in the middle layers of the skin, comes to the skin surface as sweat when the body heats up. As it evaporates, it cools the body in sport. Some scientists have suggested when there is too little water in the body, heat storage increases and the individual is less able to tolerate heat strain. Having a lot of water in the body may reduce physical strain if the heat stress occurs during exercise. However, more research is needed into these effects. 7. The digestive system depends on it. The bowel needs water to work properly. Dehydration can lead to digestive problems, constipation, and an overly acidic stomach. This increases the risk of heartburn and stomach ulcers, and that's something that I've actually had to deal with. Water is needed in the process of sweating and the removal of urine and feces. It helps to maintain blood's pressure. A lack of water can cause blood to become thicker, increasing blood pressure. The airways need it. When dehydrated, airways are restricted by the body in an effort to minimize water loss. This can make asthma and allergies worse. 11. It makes minerals and nutrients accessible. These dissolve in water, which makes it possible for them to reach the different parts of the body. It prevents kidney damage. The kidney regulate fluid in the body. Insufficient water can lead to kidney stones and other problems. 13. It boosts performance during exercise. Some scientists have proposed that consuming more water might enhance performance during strenuous activity. More research is needed to confirm this, but one review found that dehydration reduces performance in activities lasting longer than 30 minutes. It also helps with weight loss. Water may also help with weight loss. It is consumed instead of sweetened juices and sodas. Preloading with water before meals can help prevent overeating by creating a sense of fullness. Well, it reduces a hangover. When parting unsweetened soda water with ice and lemon alternated with alcoholic drinks can prevent overconsumption of alcohol. Kidney damage. Water helps dissolve minerals and nutrients, making it more accessible to the body. It also helps remove the waste products. These two functions make water vital to the kidneys. Every day, the kidneys filter about 120 liters of fluid. Seems improbable, doesn't it? But that's what they say. Of these, approximately 1 to 2 liters are removed from the body in the form of urine, and the rest is recovered by the bloodstream. Water is essential for the kidneys to function. If the kidneys do not function properly, waste products and excess fluid can build up inside the body. Untreated, chronic kidney disease can lead to kidney failure. The organs stop working, and either dialysis or kidney transplantation is required. And we've got more details there, but I think we'll just leave it there because otherwise it's just going to go on for too long. But you've given you lots of reasons. It helps with weight loss. It boosts performance during exercise, prevents kidney problems. It makes minerals and nutrients accessible. It helps with our airways. It maintains blood pressure. It flushes body waste. The digestive system depends upon it. It regulates body temperature. It cushions the brain. It boosts skin and health beauty. It delivers oxygen through the body. It forms saliva and mucus, and it lubricates the joints. Many, many good things that drinking water does. And, just encourage you to start drinking more water.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Our Master commands us to go. We need permission to stay. The Gospel is the account of Jesus leaving his Father's right hand to go to Calvary. Jesus instructed those who wanted to be his disciples to leave their homes and their comforts and to follow him. Some insisted that they could not go yet because they still had to care for elderly parents. Others wanted to make sure that everything was in order first. Still others expressed willingness to follow him but wanted to know what the details of what they would be doing. Jesus never excused those who struggled to follow him. He made it clear that to follow him meant that he set the direction and they were to follow. We can convince ourselves that Jesus does not really want us to adjust our lives, pointing to the success that we are enjoying right where we are. Jesus often told his disciples to go elsewhere in spite of the success that they were experiencing. Peter had just pulled out the greatest catch of fish of his entire career when Jesus invited him to leave everything. Philip was enjoying the astounding success as an evangelist when the Holy Spirit instructed him to go to the desert. Success where you are can be our greatest hindrance to going where Jesus wants us to be. If you become too comfortable where you are, you may resist Christ's invitation to go elsewhere. He may lead you across the street to share the gospel with your neighbor or to go to the other side of the world. Wherever he leads, be prepared to go.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. And as we start the second half of our program, we just want to welcome you back and just pray that you've been blessed by what we've shared so far. And we look forward to sharing more with you as we finish off the book, Steps to Jesus. Yep, wonderful book. And the last chapter, which we are already well through, is called Rejoicing in the Lord. Happiness that is sought from selfish motives outside of the path of duty is ill-balanced, fitful, and transitory. It passes away, and the soul is filled with loneliness and sorrow. But there is a joy and a satisfaction in the service of God. The Christian is not left to walk in uncertain paths. He is not left in vain to vain regrets and disappointments. If we do not have the pleasures of this life, we may still be joyful in looking to the life beyond. But even here, Christians may have the joy of communion with Christ. They may have the light of his love, the perpetual comfort of his presence. Every step in life may bring us closer to Jesus, may give us a deeper experience of his love, and may bring us one step nearer to the blessed home of peace. Then let us not cast away our confidence, but have firm assurance, firmer than ever before. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and he will help us to the end. 1 Samuel 7:12. Let us look to the monumental pillars, reminders of what the Lord has done to comfort us and to save us from the hand of the destroyer. Let us keep fresh in our memory all the tender mercies that God has shown us, the tears he has wiped away, the pains that he has soothed, the anxieties removed and fears dispelled, the wants supplied, the blessings bestowed, thus strengthening ourselves for all that is before us through the remainder of our pilgrimage. We cannot but look forward to new perplexities and the coming conflict, but we may look on what is in is past as well as on what is to come and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Deuteronomy 33:25. The trial will not exceed the strength that shall be given to us to bear it. Then let us take up our work just where we find it, believing that whatever may come, strength proportionate to the trial will be given, and by the gates of heaven will be thrown open to admit God's children. And from the lips of the King of glory, the benediction will fall on the ears like richest music. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. Then the redeemed will be welcomed to the home that Jesus is preparing for them. Their companions will not be vile of earth, liars, adulterers, idolaters, the impure and the unbelieving, but they will associate with those who have overcome Satan and through divine grace have formed perfect characters. Every sinful tendency, every imperfection that afflicts them here has been removed by the blood of Christ, and the excellence and the brightness of his glory, far exceeding the brightness of the sun, is imparted to them. And the moral beauty and the perfection of his character shines through them, in worth far more exceeding this outward splendor. There are without fault before the great white throne, sharing dignity and the privileges of the angels. In view of the glorious inheritance that may be his, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. He may be poor, yet he possesses in himself a wealth and a dignity that the world could never bestow. The soul redeemed and cleansed from sin, with all its noble powers dedicated to the service of God, is of surpassing worth, and there is joy in heaven in the presence of God and the holy angels over one soul redeemed, a joy that is expressed in songs of holy triumph. And yes, we all need the Lord, and that's for sure.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Left to hide their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take his light,
to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share.
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Okay, friends, in our last segment today, we're going to be reading from the book entitled The Desire of Ages, and it's about the ministry of Jesus and taken from Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10. It is entitled, what is in this chapter? The Last Journey from Galilee. Like the apostles, the 70 had received supernatural endowments as a seal of their mission. When their work was completed, they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Jesus answered, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." The scenes of the past and the future were presented to the mind of Jesus. He beheld Lucifer as he was first cast out from the heavenly places. He looked forward to the scenes of his own agony when, before all the worlds, the character of the deceiver should be unveiled. He heard the cry, "It is finished," announcing that the redemption of the lost race was made forever certain, that heaven was made eternally secure against the accusations, the deceptions, the pretensions that Satan would instigate. Beyond the cross of Calvary with its agony and shame, Jesus looked forward to the great final day when the prince of the power of the air will meet his destruction on the earth so long marred by his rebellion. Jesus beheld the work of the evil forever ended and the peace of God filling heaven and earth. Henceforth, Christ's followers were to look upon Satan as a conquered foe. Upon the cross, Jesus was to gain the victory for them, that victory he desired them to accept as their own. "Behold," he said, "I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit is the defense of every contrite soul. Not one that is in penitence and faith has claimed his protection will Christ permit to pass under the enemy's power. The Savior is by the side of his tempted and tried ones. With him, there can be no such thing as failure. Loss, impossibility, or defeat, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When temptations and trials come, do not wait to adjust all the difficulties, but look to Jesus, your helper. There are Christians who think and speak altogether too much about the power of Satan. They think of their adversary, they pray about him, they talk about him, and he looms up greater and greater in their imagination. It is true that Satan is a powerful being, but thank God we have a mighty Savior who cast out the evil one from heaven. Satan is pleased when we magnify his power. Why not talk of Jesus? Why not magnify his power and his love? The rainbow of promise encircling the throne on high is an everlasting testimony that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It testifies to the universe that God will never forsake his people in their struggle with evil. It is an assurance to us, of strength and protection as long as the throne itself shall endure. Jesus added, notwithstanding it is this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice not in the possession of power, lest you lose sight of your dependence upon God. Be careful lest self-sufficiency come in and you work in your own strength, rather than in the spirit and strength of the Master. Self is ever ready to take the credit in any measure of success attends the work. Self is flattered and exalted, and the impression is not made upon the minds that God is all in all. The Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. When we have a realization of our weakness, we learn to depend upon a power not inherent. Nothing can take so strong a hold of the heart as the abiding sense of our responsibility to God. Nothing reaches so fully down to the deepest motives of conduct as of a sense of the pardoning love of Christ. We are now to come in touch with God, then we shall be imbued with his Holy Spirit that enables us to come in touch with our fellow men. Then rejoice that through Christ you have become connected with God, members of the heavenly family. While you look higher than yourself, you will have a continual sense of the weakness of humanity. The less you cherish self, the more distinct and full will be your compensation of the excellence of your Savior. The more closely you connect yourself with a source of light and power, the greater light will be shed upon you and the greater power will be yours to work for God. Rejoice that you are one with God, one with Christ, and one with the whole family of heaven. As the 70 listened to the words of Christ, the Holy Spirit was impressing their minds with the living realities and writing truth upon the tablets of the soul. Though multitudes surrounded them, they were as though shut in with God. Yes. Knowing that they had caught the inspiration of the hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Christ. For so it seems good in thy sight, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no one knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal him. The honoured men of the world, the so-called great and wise men with all the boasted wisdom, could not comprehend the character of Christ. They judged him from an outward appearance, from the humiliation that came upon him as being a human being. But to fishermen and publicans, it had been given to see the invisible. Even the disciples failed of understanding all that Jesus desired to reveal to them. But from time to time, as they surrounded themselves to the Holy Spirit's power, their minds were illuminated. They realized that the mighty God, clad in the garb of humanity, was among them. Jesus rejoiced that they, through this knowledge, were not possessed by the wise and prudent. It had been revealed to these humble men, often as he presented the Old Testament scriptures and showed their application. Often he had presented the Old Testament scriptures and showed their application to himself and his work of atonement. They had been awakened by his spirit and lifted into heavenly atmosphere. Of the spiritual truth spoken by the prophets, they had a clearer understanding than had the original writers themselves. Hereafter, they would read the Old Testament scriptures not as doctrines of the scribes and Pharisees, not as the utterances of wise men who were dead, but as a new revelation from God. They beheld him whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 14:17. The only way in which we can gain a more perfect apprehension of truth is by keeping the heart tender and subdued by the Spirit of Christ. The soul must be cleansed from vanity and pride and vacated of all that has held in possession. And Christ must be enthroned within. Human science is too limited to comprehend the atonement. The plan of redemption is so far-reaching that the philosophy cannot explain it. It will ever remain a mystery that the most profound reasoning cannot fathom. The science of salvation cannot be explained, but it can be known by experience. Only he who sees his own sinfulness can discern the preciousness of the Saviour. Full of instruction were the lessons which Christ taught as he slowly made his way from Galilee to Jerusalem. Eagerly the people listened to his words. In Pera, as in Galilee, the people were less under the control of the Jewish bigotry than in Judea, and his teachings found a response in their hearts. During these last months of his ministry, many of Christ's parables were spoken. The priests and rabbis pursued him with ever-increasing bitterness, and his warnings to them he veiled in symbols. They could not mistake his meanings, yet they could not find in his words nothing to ground an accusation against him. In the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the self-sufficient prayer, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as the rest of men," stood out in its sharp contrast to the penitent's plea, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," Luke 18:11-13. Thus Christ rebuked the hypocrisy of the Jews, and under the figures of the barren fig tree and the great supper, he foretold the doom about to fall upon the impenitent nation. Those who had scornfully rejected the invitation of the gospel feast heard his warning words, "I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Luke 14:24. Very precious was the instruction given to the disciples. The parable of the importunate widow and the friend asking for bread at midnight gave new force to his words, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Luke 11:9. And often their wavering faith was strengthened by the memory that Christ had said, "Shall not God do justice for his elect, which cry to him day and night? and he is long-suffering over them. I say unto you that he will do them justice speedily. Luke 18:7-8. And unfortunately, friends, we're going to have to leave it there for today. We've run out of time, and we're going to finish up. But as we finish up, we just want to remind you that we're offering, I'm offering $40 this week to the first person to contact me. And remember, you can contact me for the free giveaways, but you can also contact me for that money, and I'll be happy to post it to you or get it to you in some way. And so if you contact me and you're the first person to contact me, I'll be happy to send that out, because remember, the people here at the station have told me that for every one person that responds, there's another 100 listening. Well, when we first started this program, we used to have a lot of response, so there must have been hundreds of people listening. We're not getting much response these days, and so we're just trying to test, are people there listening? Because we really don't know. People can have their radios on, but perhaps they're not listening. Or people are just become, I don't know what you're going to say. You couldn't say lazy, because, I mean, the thought of $40 by just contacting me is a pretty easy way of getting some money. And in the world that we live in today, $40 is a good amount of money. All right, friends. Now, if you do want to contact me, you can. Let me just give you those details quickly again. You can give it by email address, which is 999amazinggrace@gmail.com, or you can text or call us on 027-229-6624. That again is 027-229-6624. And you could also contact the station and just pass on your details, and we'd be happy to send that money to you. All right, friends, let's just finish with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity today. We just pray for your blessing upon our listeners and their families, and just pray, Lord, that each person will be brought closer to you as they continue to be blessed by the gospel that we share each and every week. So we give thanks and praise to you, Lord, praying all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So from all of us here at Amazing Grace, we pray that you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
By now I see.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.